Well, my name's Garrett Higby. I am at this point working at a couple of places. I am the director of pastoral care for the Great Commission Collective. If you don't know much about that, it's a church planting organization, about 130 churches around the world. And I try to oversee the care of pastors and wives. So pray for me. I also am on the board of 12 Stones Ministries, and I also help to run a consulting biblical counseling ministry. So what I want to talk to you about today is advocacy. And I've done that before, but this time I'm really going to kind of drill down on what is an advocate, how do you choose an advocate, how do you use an advocate in a good way to really enhance and bless the counselee, but even the counseling and the church. How many of you know or have heard of advocacy? That's so cool, because 10 years ago, two hands would have gone up. How many of you have been an advocate? Wonderful. So a good number of you. Well, we're going to look at the practice of how do you bring a godly friend, a mentor, somebody who cares for the counselee or the couple into the counseling session in a way that would enhance your biblical counseling exponentially. How do you screen? How do you invite? How do you orient? How do you utilize? And even how do you follow up with an advocate or advocate couple in a way that the counseling is much more likely to succeed long term? So, brief history. It's not a new idea. Matter of fact, it's pretty old. It's as old as pastoral care is in the Bible. It's thousands of years old in a sense, because it's really living out the one another's. So it's not a new idea. It might be a new idea to think about bringing an advocate into counseling, but that's because biblical counseling is a new idea. You know what I mean? The way we do it, 1 hour or 2 hours, that's somewhat contemporary. But this idea of coming alongside, matter of fact, Proverbs 17:17 is the kind of key verse in my mind. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That's an advocate. And those have been around forever. Hopefully you have a brother or sister like that in your life. And you could say, yeah, they do advocate for me. They intercede for me. They come alongside. It's not a new idea. But when I was at College Park Church on staff, oh, it's been a while now, I started to feel the desperation for too many people needing help and not enough helpers. Ever felt that way? And then I started going, how do I multiply myself? I can't just do it through apprentices or biblical counseling training. It takes too long, and there's too many people that need help, and some of the help is like day-to-day just being alongside, and these people are just going to be counselors, which is great, but it's not enough. So I started thinking, why don't I just invite people from their circle of influence into the counseling with them out of desperation. And it was way better than I thought, way more effective than I could have ever imagined. And then I started requiring it, believe it or not, which is not fun, but it just, you know, because people kind of get fussy about that, but it does work out. And especially when we went to 12 Stones and started 12 Stones, which is an intensive counseling retreat that's usually 3 days, I said, you can't come without advocacy. You can't come without somebody in your circle of influence. And if they've burnt every bridge, then bring a leader. Whatever they need to do, somebody's got to come along with them. And that was really a good idea. It took a while to get the courage to say, you have to do this. Because they're like, who are you to tell me? And what about privacy? And what are, you know, and like, we had to work through all of that. Now, it's funny, because we were sheepish about it, we got more arguments. When we got firmer about it, people didn't fuss as much. Anyway, lessons learned. I could not have anticipated the benefits. I knew there'd be some, but they're way more, and I'll explain that. Now when I ask people about advocacy more and more in churches around the country, people know. They're like, yeah, we've heard about that, or we've tried that, or we do that. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, the Lord has really, really multiplied this. Thousands have experienced being an advocate, and to almost a person, they'll tell you it's one of the best things they've ever done for anybody else or for the gospel. And I've asked advocates to kind of give feedback. They'll say it's among the top few things they've ever done to serve the Lord. So it's a blessing to the advocates, not just to the counselees. I just said that to a guy the other day because he was really worried about inconveniencing a friend. And I said, trust me, when that friend leaves the counseling with you, that won't be on their mind at all. Does come with its own challenges, though, and I'm going to talk about it. It's not an easy thing, and it's not everyone that can be an advocate. So what are some worldly definitions? Let's start with that. A person who speaks or writes in support or defense. So you often think about it in the court system, or someone who pleads on the behalf of someone else. Someone who's vulnerable, somebody that needs a voice, somebody that needs some support, an advocate would come alongside. You see that in the world even. But what we're talking about is a bit different. We're talking about a soul care advocate. So what does that mean? Someone who comes alongside a person in need to help them get the most out of counseling while providing comfort, correction, and care. That's a simple definition of what an advocate is in biblical counseling or soul care. They come alongside, they don't come over, they're not the expert, and they don't really come under in a way that they just prop them up and they're their savior either. They're coming alongside. A person in need, do I need to define that? There's a lot of people in need in the church, right? I think of Galatians 6, 1 and 2, any sinner, any trespass, I think of 2 Corinthians 1, somebody who needs comforting, you know the type of people we work with. Help them, this person or these people that come alongside, help them to maximize the gains from biblical counseling for months after the counseling's over. Job description. First of all, if you're going to include advocates, you'll have to work harder. Oh, you just lost me, Garrett. I'm working too hard now. You'll work harder in the short term, and it'll be easier in the long term. It's really cool. But you know how some things are worth working for, because you have to clarify. You become more than just a counselor. You sort of become a bit of a somebody who clarifies all the roles in the room and is thinking about the dynamics of different people and how to leverage that, the relationships, the reasons for advocacy have to be spelled out even before they come in and then again in the first session. So there's a bit of work to do. Here's a couple things. They take notes. Advocates capture things the counselees miss. A lot of scripture, a lot of key points that they can go over with them later. Context. You'll get context from the advocates, especially if they're in their circle of influence, you wouldn't get any other way. Oh, it's kind of that Proverbs 17 or 18:17. Oh, really? Because I was all bent towards this, and then you just said this, and now I'm like, I have a whole different appreciation of what's going on. Intercessor like no other, an advocate, and I really push their prayer intercession strongly and even do a little teaching on that to both the counselees and the advocates. Another voice to affirm or direct what you're saying. So advocates, and I will talk about those rogue advocates, that happens like one time out of 100 of advocates going to say something, you're going to be like, oh, why did I let this person come into the counseling? Why didn't I screen them better? But most of the time, they affirm, they encourage, they say what he said, what she said, which is really helpful. And then they also help them stay on the homework and the goals between sessions. Imagine you not getting the call, you not having to check in because you got your advocate doing it. And then vital support between sessions as well. Advocates don't feel particularly upset when they get called in the middle of the night.